वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरये। नस्तप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नहिष्टकी। इदं भागवतं नामं पुराणं ब्रह्मसंहितं उत्तमश्लोकचरितं चकारा भगवान् ऋषि निःश्रेयसायस्य लोकस्य धान्यं स्वस्ति अयनं महात्। Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, let us offer our humble obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance in classes of Srimad Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto a pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead is established as an irrevocable fact. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of God. It is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, an incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people. It is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect.
Kachin madhukaram drishtva dhyayanti krishna sangamam priya prashthapitam dutam kalpayitvedam abravet kachin madhukaram drishtva dhyayanti krishna sangamam priya prashthapitam dutam kalpayitvedamabravet kachin madhukaram drishtva dhyayanti krishna sangamam priya prashthapitam dutam kalpayitvedamabravet।
Kachit, one of the gopis, madhukaram, a honeybee, drishtva, seeing, dhyayanti, while meditating, krishna sangamam, on her association with Krishna, priya, by her beloved, prasthapitam, sent, dutam, a messenger, kalpayitva, imagining it, idam, the following, abravit, spoke. Translation. One of the gopis, while meditating on her previous association with Krishna, saw a honeybee before her and imagined it to be a messenger sent by her beloved. And thus she spoke as follows. Kindly repeat translation responsively. One of the gopis, while meditating on her previous association with Krishna, saw a honeybee before her and imagined it to be a messenger sent by her beloved. Thus she spoke as follows. Purport. Srimati Radharani is referred to in this verse as Kachit, a certain gopi. To establish that this particular gopi is in fact Srimati Radharani, Srila Jiva Goswami quotes the following verses from the Agni Puran. Gopya praprachur ushashi krishnanu charanam udhavam hari lila viharamscha tatrekam radhikam vina radha tat bhava samalina vasanaya viramita sakhibhi sadhyadhash chuddha vijnana guna jimbhitam ijyante vasanam veda charamamsa vibhavanahi. Translation. At dawn, the gopis inquired from Krishna's servant Uddhava about the Lord's pastimes and recreation. Only Srimati Radharani, immersed in thought of Krishna, withdrew her interest in the talks. Then Radha, who is worshipped by the residents of her Vrindavan village, spoke up in the midst of her girlfriends. Her words were full of pure transcendental knowledge and expressed the ultimate portion of the Vedas. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Lord Krishna states, Vedaishta sarva ahameva vedyaha. By all the Vedas I am to be known. To know Krishna is to love Krishna. And thus Radharani, by her own example and words, revealed her supreme love for the Lord. Having quoted the above verses from the Agni Puran, Srila Jiva Goswami also quotes the following from the Narasimha Tapani Upanishad, Purva Khanda 2.4. Yam sarve deva namanti mumuksho vo brahmavadinas cha. All the demigods and all the transcendental philosophers who desire liberation bow down to the Supreme Lord. We should follow suit. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dhanti Swapdantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Shivtamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dena Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindaye Tulasi Devyaye Priyaye Keshavasya Vishnu Bhakti Prati Devi Satyavate Namo Namaha Vancha Kalpataru Hyasya Kripasandhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine
Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasari Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
This 10th canto is not my forte, and not that I know, not much immersed in this whole concept of, but anyway, nonetheless, since I've been put on the spot, the first and foremost thing is that this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially this chapter, is one of the most exalted chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And until unless, at least that's what Prabhupada says, and we can realize it by actually trying to read and trying to so-called understand the 10th canto, that until unless one is in the mode of goodness, first canto, first chapter, first verse, Prabhupada says this in the purport, that until unless you're not in the mode of goodness, you can't chant Gayatri. You know, only by chanting Gayatri in the pure mode of goodness can you understand and get into the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Otherwise you can't. So I'm definitely not in the mode of goodness. It's going to take me a lot of lifetimes to get into the mode of goodness. But in the mode of goodness, we will be able to understand what this is going on here. Of course, we can get some kind of, what you call it, arupitam, Srila Prabhupada says in, I think, the 7th to 8th canto, arupitam, just kind of your own experience of what this world is all about. You can try to impose it on Krishna and try to understand what it is, but we really cannot understand what this spiritual world is by staying here in this Kali Yuga. What to speak of this material world? Material world is itself bad, and we are in the part of, real bad part of Kali Yuga. And we are in one of the real bad portions of Kali Yuga and a really bad section of Kali Yuga where there is only nonsense going on. But as I was reading Chaitanya Mangal, the reason for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, and Lochandas Thakur is there quoting from Jaimini Bharata. I don't know what that is. Don't ask me. But he says it's in Jaimini Bharat. It's a conversation between Narada and Uddhava there, where Lochandas Thakur says that when one day Krishna decided to get out, go from Satyabhama's house to the house of Rukmini, and Rukmini was in ecstasy and all the other queens were assisting her to get the whole house together. And they had all kinds of dhoop and aarti and all kinds of beautiful paraphernalia ready to receive Krishna. And then personally Rukmini Devi went and washed his lotus feet and held it on her chest. And then she started crying. So when she started crying, Krishna, you know, as usual, likes to pray the, that's what they say anyway, I don't know. He likes to play the prank with Rukmini always. So as he saw her crying, he says, what's happened to you? Why are you crying? I've come to your house. You are so fortunate to have me here, that I've come here. Then why are you crying? You know? And everyone knows that you are my dearest queen. Why are you crying? There's no need for you to cry. I've only joked with you once. You know? And you're still holding it in your heart. He's so hard-hearted. You know, you've not forgiven me for it, even though I've asked for forgiveness so many times. So Rukmini Devi says, no, my lord, you don't understand. You don't understand what it means to get your lotus feet into my house. You really don't understand what it means to hold to the effect of your lotus feet. And one who actually relishes the association with your lotus feet, what your lotus feet can give us. It's only Srimati Radharani who knows about it, and no one else. Krishna, hey, come, what would you say? What did you say? Say it again. Say it again. And then, of course, Lochandas Thakur, in his own poem-like form, he makes a whole song out of that, of what Rukmini sings to Krishna. It's here, but anyway, let's not prolong that section there. So, and that is one of the reasons, later on, Lochandas Thakur says, this is one of the reasons why Krishna appeared. And yesterday we were in the Prasadam hall while taking lunch. We were reading that section from the Prabhupada Lilamrit, in which Prabhupada is quoting, narrating the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and Hayagriva is supposed to make a play out of it. Hayagriva Prabhu is supposed to make a play out of it. And there Prabhupada says, Krishna appears. He says, Krishna cannot understand one thing. That's what Rukmini Devi also says. You cannot understand. You can understand everything, but you cannot understand the power of your own lotus feet because you are not a devotee of yourself. Until unless you get into that, you will not understand the power of your lotus feet. What it does to others. How it saves us. How it is the most source of everything for us. So anyway, here in this section here, we see that Srimati Radharani is angry with Krishna for not being present for her. But we can't be like that. At least I can't be. And as soon as I look at myself, what we were, and from where we've been picked up, and if what would we have been doing if we had not come in Krishna consciousness, watching boring movies, you know, spending Sundays on these useless, completely ignorant and what should I say, you know, slapstick nonsense that is there, called television serials, and try to entertain ourselves with those same old nonsense routine. For me, one of the most boring days in my life used to be Sunday, because, you know, we were addicted to watch something on the movie, but at the same time, at the end of the day, you gain nothing out of it, absolutely nothing. You are physically, you are not done anything. You have mentally not done anything. You've just become a potato. You know, nothing else. I think people who watch television only move their toes. So I think that's why they call potatoes. That's all they do, you know, just move their toes. Otherwise, they don't do anything else. So, you know, we would have been in a complete nonsense. I mean, what would we be doing today? Probably getting drunk, probably womanizing. And at the end of, you know, when you're close to 50, what will you do? You've done it all, then it's still pretty boring there. And what do you read? Keep reading the nonsense newspapers every day? It's the same garbage every day. The same newspaper has no value by the time it's evening. No one wants to buy an old newspaper. No one wants. It's no use. We would have been doing that. Years and years we would have spent, you know, I would have spent 25 years doing that if I not, you know, not been connected with Prabhupada. And if you've not been connected with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you're not connected with this Krishna consciousness movement, if you're not connected with chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra again and again every day, what would we be doing? So Srimati Radharani is, you know, saying that, oh, he's not here, he's angry, but we can't be angry. We said, if you are not there, what would you have it to us? What the hell would I be doing? We went through this nonsense process of schooling, which has destroyed us completely, who made us do nothing with our brains. You know, in the schooling process that we went through, it's such a ridiculous process. First and foremost, if you read Bhagavad Gita, I hope all of you all have read Bhagavad Gita, the system of education is tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Who asks the questions? Who's supposed to ask the questions? The students, not the teacher. This present education system is just the opposite. The teachers ask the question, the students are supposed to answer, as if the students know it all. The students don't know it, therefore he's supposed to ask questions. Whereas in the present education system, students are not supposed to ask questions. Don't ask questions, keep quiet. And what are you supposed to do? Answer my questions. It's a ridiculous system. It made our brains dull. It stopped us from questioning. The very basis of education is to question. What is it? The first verse of the Vedanta Sutra? Prathado Brahma Jigyasa. You have to have Jigyasa. No, don't have any Jigyasa. Just follow the syllabus. And what is the syllabus? one syllabus that fits all. Nonsense. You know, it's a completely dehumanizing education system. And that's what got into us. You know, it dehumanized us. We thought we are worth the marks and the certificates. We forgot who we are. And that is what we would have been following if we had not been saved by Prabhupada, who took us out. He said, think for yourself. Become independently thoughtful. Think who you are. Think why you're doing all this. You don't have to be like sheep. You don't have to be like sheep. Just follow the crowd and where it goes. Either you be a sheep or you be a buffalo. You see buffaloes crossing the road? Straight. You know, the car is coming, nothing. It's going to hit. No problem. So this is such a crazy system. And we've been through it. And the worst part of it, is that now kids are going to school. I think we went about a year later. But kids presently go to school about, I think, it's 2.5. And 2.5 onwards, they've been pitched against each other of the same age to compete with one another. From the age of 3.5 till, 22 or 23 or something like that. We did that. We were pitched with one another of our same age group to compete with one another. Whereas the essence of life is to cooperate. Today, if you go out on the street, if everyone is trying to beat each other in driving on the street, what would happen to the traffic? What would happen to Bombay? What do you think will happen to Bombay? If the bus driver is trying to compete with the other guy next to him, and the other private car is trying to compete with the one next to him, then what will happen? In a temple, what is more important, to compete or to cooperate? In a family, what is more important, to compete or to cooperate? What is more important in an office, to compete or to cooperate? Even on a road, when you're driving, you cannot compete, you've got to cooperate. But this system is making us compete from the age of 2.5 throughout the whole learning period of our life to the most major part, the most learning and the most productive part of our life, to only compete. And that goes into us. And then later on we compete at every phase of our life. And we measure ourselves not by what we are worth, but what others think about us. What others certify about us. Such a ridiculous system. So we are very fortunate to be with Prabhupada. We are very fortunate. I mean, how harsh a word can Srila Prabhupada use? A sadhu cannot use a harder word than calling the education system a slaughterhouse. Where does he quote that? Sorry? No. Where does he say it? Quiz. Let's get a quiz. Without the aid of your gizmos, your search engines. Where do you think the Prabhupada quotes it? 10th canto, 11th canto, 9th canto? Yes? 1st canto, yes, you're close. Where else? Can you get more closer? 2nd chapter, no, you're off. Yes? No? First canto, first chapter, verse number 22. first chapter, verse number 22, he calls it a slaughterhouse. Can a sadhu use any harsher word than this? We have been saved by Prabhupada by all this. But we cannot go on being complacent. We have to take what Prabhupada has given right out to the world. It's so terrible that by the time we are trying to, when we came into the movement, we got in the youth preaching, so-called youth preaching, college preaching, and we thought we are great guys. Because prior to when we joined, the most important thing in ISKCON to do was to be a life membership preacher. You know, if you're worth anything, you become a life membership preacher. So everyone would go out with briefcases and, you know, open out different things, and, you know, the big guys were doing all that. So around that time when we joined, the big thing was to become a youth preacher, you know. So we got into youth preaching and all that. But by the time spending years doing that, we realized that all of those who are coming out and whom to whom we are trying to preach and give these books are already rotten. They're already been hardened. They already have their brains full with atheism, secularism, anti-Vedic ideas, agnosticism, you know, some sort of fuzzy equality and fraternity. You know, really, really fuzzy, because why I'm saying it's fuzzy, because they really don't tell us what your role, they don't prepare you for the role that is going to come to you, whether you're a man or a woman. It doesn't prepare you for the roles that will naturally come to us. It doesn't prepare us for that. So, and then they talk about Aryan invasion theory and a Big Bang and what else? You know, Darwinism, that everything is chemical. By the time we reach them, when they're in their class 11 or 12, they're already hardened, like hardened criminals. So immediately they will kind of refuse. Hey, come on, you know, religion, throw it away. You know, we all must have had that experience. No, keep them away. You know, what to speak about others? We've seen village kids, village school kids, once they graduate out, I mean, they out of school or somehow they left school, when they come to our, you know, farm or whatever, they smile at each other very knowingly. You know, come on, this is, or in a very, they're ashamed of coming to a temple or coming to a ashram. Because they've already been hardened by the system. So we are trying to preach to these people about, you know, Srimati Radharani and all that. I mean, I can't do that. I don't do that. But here, they're already hardened by the system. They've already been criminalized practically. They have, and if they have not that, then they have, at present, they have tons of things that corrupt their mind into lust, into greed. There are tons of it. And I've known boys who tell me, when we talk to them, Prabhu, I know what you're saying is right, but I can't take through this process. I am too contaminated. My mind is too much disturbed with all that, what I have done already. I can't. So, by the time they come, they're already hardened criminals. Too hard to take to Krishna consciousness. And our process is going to take a huge effort to break that. So we have to break it even early. Before they come to college, we have to break them. We have to mold them much before they come even into school or college. Or rather, we should not even let them enter into schools and colleges. Yeah, because they're slaughterhouses, filled with ideas of sense gratification. I remember, I don't know how many of you all remember the Tinkerbell downstairs. You remember Tinkerbell downstairs? And then they're playing movie songs and trying to get their children to dance in the movie songs, in dance like the movie actors and actresses. Such a crazy situation. Prabhupada says that if you teach a child six things, you've taught him. Okay, and we were discussing that with, I think, Sankirtan Prabhu yesterday. Six things. It's in 1-1-10. First is thing that you have to teach. Prabhupada says, how do you lead a healthy life? Okay, how do you lead a healthy life? Let's have a quiz again. 1-1-10. How do you lead a healthy life? No gizmos? Okay. You can go into it if you like. He says anyone can lead a healthy life by two things. Regulated life and simple food. Anyone can lead a healthy life. And it is true. If you're simply regulated and eat simple food, anyone can lead a healthy life. Not that you eat Lays. What is that? Yes, isn't it? Lays. You know, chocolates, cakes, and then what else? You know. The other day, I was just. Till what time? 9:15. We were. Someone was giving some devotees ice cream, and then we were looking under the label, and it mentioned E471, E406, E4112. Guess what those are? You ever read the labels that you know? E471, it's supposed to be, it's got a vegetarian dot, a green dot. E471 is derived from pig fat. Almost all ice creams have it. Okay. In ashrams, I've seen people using shaving creams. They have, what is it called? Stearic acid. You know, or methyl sterile something, sodium, you know. So, Prabhupada said two things. Anyone can lead a healthy life. One is regulated habits, and okay. Then he says four things that if you do, then your vitality of human energy will not be wasted. And the four things are no overeating, no oversense gratification. That includes no oversleeping. Not dependent on anyone else's mercy. You're not dependent on your certificate to give you a job, for someone to give you a job. No. You should be self-dependent. Not dependent on anyone else's mercy. And the third, fourth, is artificial standards of living. Use big lights and walk around, you know, till 12 o'clock at night. This is all artificial standards of living. And you can put in everything. So this saps human vitality. And therefore, their and the bad education system combined with it takes away all desire for self-realization away from a living entity. All this is to be taught when? When you're a child. Before you mature, all these six things have to be taught. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us a lot. We can't cry that Prabhupada left and gave us away. No, we can't. We're always grateful to what he has given us. We can't live without them. If he was not there, we'd have been ruined. Not just ruined, I don't know what we would have been. So we have tons of things to do for Srila Prabhupada and to please him, because he's Paradukkha-Dukhi. So, to please him, he will be pleased only if we present what he has presented to the world around us. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a glorious thing. What is here is very esoteric. We can only relish it privately, maybe. Can't speak much about it. So, I will end here. I'm sorry, I'm not much of a speaker. I'm not much of a... The verbal foray is not my area of activity. I'm more or less doing something else. So please forgive me if I'm not very structured in my presentation or whatever y'all appeals to you. It's just that I happen to be here and they put me on the spot. Thank you very much. Any questions, any comments? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, I am little curious about the options which you can give for not sending the school to the child. Because only option I am hearing is homeschooling. And that, as soon as parents hear, they become very scared about it. So if any other options are also there...
Yes, no schooling. Yeah. No schooling.
But some kind of education, which you said, no, six things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We need education, we don't need schooling. That's the worst thing that's happening to us. We are packaging these kids out in some kind of clothes. Why, you know why we put them on the uniform? So that the rest of their life they also do the same. They get out at 9 o'clock in the morning and go to office and come back at 5 in the evening. So that they become excellent office goers or factory workers. Okay, so we don't need to educate our children. We need to educate our children, not school them. And education means the six. Regulated habits. Eat simple food. No overeating. No over sense gratification. Not dependent on anyone else's mercy. And no artificial standards of living. This is education. We shouldn't school them. There's no need for schooling them. The whole concept of schooling is wrong. The children by nature are very inquisitive. They have tons of questions. Anyone who has a kid or who's grown a kid knows that, right? Kids have tons of questions. If you're sincerely answering their questions, you'll educate them. If you're sincerely, if you don't tell them, keep quiet, don't disturb me, don't keep asking questions. Shut up. You take this in. Go out there and go away. You know, if you're not trying to push them away, if you're sincerely trying to answer their questions, you will educate them. But don't school them. Schooling is a wrong concept. We have to, you know, like the famous writer Ivan Illich, who was a Christian pastor. He wrote that famous book. You've read that? De-schooling Society. We need to de-school people. We all think that there's someone who's going to tell us what is the truth. You know? The point is that one has to be encouraged to look for the truth. Until unless there is inquisitiveness in the person to know the truth, to know the subject, no amount of schooling will be able to get the guy to be educated. So what we do is we simply, you know, try to stop all their process of thinking and inquiring, and we want to give them a syllabus. They have a syllabus. Krishna has given them a syllabus. It's given them an inquisitive mind. But we stop it. Krishna has given them the syllabus. Krishna has given them the system. Ask questions. Any kid has questions, is it not? You just see, does any kid have questions or not? How many parents are there? Krishna Prabhu, do kids have questions? Plenty? Tons of it? Every minute? When they are young, by the time they are 12 or 13, they have plenty of questions. But we don't answer them. Yes, Prabhu. Does that? I'm a little abrupt, but you know what can I do? That's the only. More needs to be worked on it, but you have to.
That was a very nice perspective that you have. But when we read scriptures, also we see in the Mahabharata there was formal schooling. There was formal schooling for Krishna Balaram. They are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are Vedaischa Sarvara Hameva Vedyo. They don't need to go to school. But to set a standard for us, I can understand maybe the perspective of what is taught can be different. But still, we cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because there has to be some sort of, like we understand that for Brahmanas, there's a different set of syllabus prescribed. For Kshatriyas it was a different set. For Vaishyas it was a different set of syllabus prescribed. Even in the part schools, in our Vedic scriptures that we study of. So, how do we reconcile that with what you are saying?
See, the point is that the main focus that I'm trying to say is, first and foremost, you should understand what is schooling today is not what Krishna and Balaram went through in Sandipani Muni's ashram. Okay? And second is that what Dronacharya taught the Pandavas was not schooling. Okay? He was providing them skills. It is a completely different thing when you have schooling. You know, when you want kids to conform to some set standards. In the other way, the teacher is ready, student is ready and the interaction produces education.
I agree to what you are saying. That's why I said from a certain perspective.
Therefore, we have to understand that it is schooling is interaction between a person who is inquisitive and a person who is willing to give knowledge. But what is going on today is dumping of information. What is the difference between knowledge and information?
Knowledge transforms.
Yeah, and information?
Just
so what is today's system?
I won't say uniformly the same thing.
It is, see, knowledge has to do with understanding.
It has got its bad, the dark side also, but it has got some redeeming features also.
Yeah, those are kind of sophisticated way of saying that something is good, something is bad.
In the absence of any other better options that we can offer,
see,
at least for the general masses, we cannot just tell them that this is bad and then don't give them an option. If we can offer them an option, then it's okay. But when we just pointedly say, oh, this is this,
just
then it doesn't serve the purpose. Then what do we do? At least they have to live in this world and earn their livelihood. What do they do?
That's precisely what you don't need education for. I mean schooling for, not education. Education you definitely need. Everyone needs to be educated. We are all born above the jata. We are born ignorant. Education we definitely need. I'm trying to make the distinction between education and schooling. Education we all need to be educated. We need to be learned. Vidya vinaya sampanni brahmani avihastini suni cheva supake cha pandita samadarshinam. But what is known as schooling is not education. The degrees that these people are giving do not assure you a job, does it? Does it assure you a job? It doesn't. Does it give you a skill? No, it doesn't. It makes you servile. It makes you stop thinking. It doesn't give you, doesn't educate you. In the name of education, it simply passes you through years and years without anything. Most institutions which recruit people have to again train those students to adhere them to the system that they need. 46% of the engineers who pass out as engineers are not qualified to be engineers. Fifth standard students, more than 50% of them cannot read a class 2 textbook. This is the education. When you talk about masses, anything in the masses that haven't worked. Any mass education system haven't worked. We had an education system before, which was much different. And we had many, many more subjects that were taught. There was more than 23 or 33 subjects taught before the British came and destroyed the education system in India. And it was between individuals. It was not centralized. There's plenty of education going on. But there was no schooling. This uniform mass schooling system that completely makes people into products. This was not there. We had an education system, a very well-defined. Gandhiji challenged, Hartlog, Dr. Hartlog, Professor Hartlog in America. There's a very famous tete-a-tete between the two. Gandhiji said, India's education system has worsened since the British came. Hartlog contested it. He was the former vice chancellor of the Dhaka University. And he tried to say that, no, education in India has improved. Gandhiji said, no. But then he was put into jail. He couldn't continue discussion any further. But a person much later, much, much later, I think in the 1980s, got together all the information from the British sources to show that the Indian education system was far, far more better than what the British introduced, schooling. We had an education, we taught Mimamsa, we taught so many subjects. Much more than what the number of subjects that are being taught today, with much more skills and a much shorter time. In 6 or 7 years was maximum that the kids went through education. And then they were competent to do whatever they wanted to do in life. And it was free. So there was an education system. Why I am saying this again and again is because there is no education system today. It is a slaughterhouse. We have an education system. Why not look for it? Okay, I think it's time. We should wind up. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.